It's a real good thing. All right. I think I can safely say, let's go to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. I'm going back to the same subject here, the power of God. This is part, this is going to be a part 4 of the power of God. You know, it's really been on my heart, and we're talking about the power of God that is released in our lives to accomplish the salvation of the Lord. That's what we're talking about here. And I'm going to read, as I've been reading, this is in Romans chapter 1, and this is such a familiar verse of Scripture, verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And then this is what he says about the gospel message, the truth of the word of the Lord, for it is the power of God. And then he specifies, and he says, for salvation. And I'm going to stop there for just a minute. I'm not going to preach messages that I've already preached, you know, but because we're talking about salvation, salvation is a continual work in the life of the believer. You know, it's past tense. It's present tense and it's future tense, according to the word of the Lord, until we all come into being made like him. You know, that's where we're all headed right now. I hope you know that it's not, you know, the evil one wants to pervert the gospel message. And this comes in many forms and many different doctrines. And one of those doctrines is that when you get saved, you just got it all. You know, I mean, you got your ticket punched, you're going to heaven. And now, you know, I can serve the way that I want to serve. I can be what I want to be. Oh, there's certain guidelines of things that I don't need to do, shouldn't do. But the one thing that it never addresses is who do you live for? Or do you live for self? Or do you live for the Lord Jesus Christ? It's not a matter of, well, is that right or wrong? Is this a sin or is that not a sin? Some, you know, people think that, you know, well, if I'm not doing this and I'm not doing that, everything is okay. No, it's walking after that salvation of the Lord, and I'm serving the Lord. And not only am I serving the Lord, but I'm becoming made more like him. You know, and this is the work of the salvation of God, is I'm being made more like him. You know, this is the work of the salvation of God. You know, it starts in the heart. This is where it starts at. Let me just read a couple of little scriptures to you. Like, for example, in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 23 says, for you have been born again, now listen, not of seed which is perishable, but imperishable, that is through the living, now listen to that, the living and abiding word of God. I'm going to tell you right now, when you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I'll tell you, God takes you up on it. I mean, he's very serious, and he's going to pursue you. He's going to pursue you to bring you into what has been promised. What has been promised to you is the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, that's where God is moving. He moves through the thick. He moves through the thin. He moves through the good times. He moves through the bad times. He turns bad things into good things. He turns them around, and he uses them for good, for his will, and for his purpose. This is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we become more like him. We become more like him. We have a greater work of godliness that comes into our heart. Our mind becomes more of the mind of the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we begin to see things the way that he sees them. Do you understand, you know, the power and the glory that is involved when you begin to look at situations and problems and all of those obstacles that come against you, that you see them in the mind of Christ? Can you imagine? You don't understand the power of faith that comes into your life? Do you understand the ability to be able to stand even when you're being resisted in the greatest of ways? And this all comes because there's a clothing that is taking place in your life. You're being clothed with the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the destiny of the believer in Jesus Christ. Now, that's the salvation of the Lord. And then it goes on and it says here, I'll read it again. He says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it's the power. That word power, as I've said, is the word dunamis. It's the same word that is in Acts 1:8. But here it's being designated in a particular way. And the way that it's being designated, it's talking about the salvation of the Lord. Right, but I want you to hear that. Do you hear that? You do not accomplish this through your own power or through your own might. This comes about by the power of God. It comes about by the power of God. It's not a matter of that I'm trying to be like Jesus. By the power of the Holy Spirit, I'm being made like Jesus. There's the difference. And it's not in the midst of my strength or my ability. It's in the power of God. Here's the glory of it all. As we read on right here, it goes on in verse 16, and it says that it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, you understand, I don't just simply believe on Jesus for when I accepted him as Lord and Savior. I'm to live a life of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the covenant that we have in Jesus is a covenant is on the basis of faith through grace. You know, as the grace of God comes as I believe upon the Lord. Now, faith is a practice. I find it amazing how many Christians only walk in a doctrine of faith. They do not walk in a practicality of faith. We must take up faith, and we must walk in it in a practical manner before God. It can't be a philosophy. It has to be a practice before the Lord that I'm living in faith. I'm walking in faith. I'm calling on the name of the Lord. I'm believing on the name of the Lord. I'm standing in the faith of Almighty God. I'm crying out to God in faith. I'm seeking to lay hold of the power and the glory and the will and the purpose and the mind of the Lord. And the way that I do that is all through faith. Now, I'll tell you something, and this is what the word of the Lord tells us. Let me look at another scripture. If you want to turn and hold your place right there, I'm going to make a reference. And this is in Romans chapter 4, and this is simply in verse 20, and it's speaking of Abraham, and it says, yet with respect to the promise of God, now look at this, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith. Do you see that? All right, so now we'll go back to where we were. Do you understand that faith is not stagnant? Faith is not stagnant. Faith is a living work that comes into the heart of the believer by the power of the Holy Spirit. You start in one place in faith, and as you follow after the Lord and you practice the way of faith, your faith will grow. It will grow. Abraham grew strong in faith. And the one thing that he was on is that he was on the journey of the Lord. That's what you were on. That's what I'm on. We're on the journey of the Lord. And the Lord brings us from one level of faith into another level of faith. Now, let me show you that. Here we are back here in Romans chapter 1. And look at verse 17. For in it, that's in that in the gospel, in the salvation of the Lord, it says, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Now, let me give you that word reveal right there is apokalupto, apokalupto. That is the transliterated into English, and it means to uncover or a revelation. To uncover or a revelation. Now, how does that, the revelation of this salvation? You know, like there's some people that believe, well, you know, salvation is just about getting saved, okay? And then they don't think about salvation being anything else. And then the Spirit of God is moving in your life, and He's showing, He's giving you vision. He's given you understanding. He's given you light. You know, you start at one place, and then the Spirit begins to open your understanding, your mind, and your eye, and you begin to see down the road there. And the Spirit of God begins to call you down that road right there. You begin to see things and you feel quickened. And you feel quickened and empowered by the Holy Spirit to stand on that, on things that you didn't know that God would ever do. That's what this revealing is about. And when we talk about revelation, I don't want you to get hung up on the word revelation, what that is about. You know, it's the mind's eye to see. It's the mind's eye to see. It's light. It's understanding. It's revelation knowledge. It's truth being realized in the heart and in the mind, where you begin to see what you never ever saw before. You begin to believe on God. This is the journey that we're on, the pathway. What's happening to us? What's happening to us, but put simply, is that we're becoming the man of the Spirit, which is whom Jesus was. He was the man of the Spirit. You know, we're no longer in the flesh. Are you with me? Now, you understand you received that seed. You know, the picture is like Mary. There was a seed. The seed of Jesus was planted in Mary. And then it came to full term. And then there was a birthing. And then there was a maturity that took place. There's a seed of life when you're born again that has been planted in you. That begins to move in you. It begins to permeate through your whole being. The next place that it goes, it begins to go to your mind. You begin to have different kind of thoughts. Here we are. Now mark that. Let me read this real quick and then we'll go on. For verse 17, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed. Now look at this. From faith to faith, just as is written, but the righteous man shall live by faith. All right, now, and I'll go on in a minute. Faith deepens. Faith gets deeper, it gets broader, it gets wider, and it gets stronger. You know, the more you exercise it, the stronger it gets. You know, there are principles involved here, right? You know, it's like learning to ride a bicycle. You don't just get on the bicycle and go, right? I mean, you had to learn that balance. And then, you know, once you learn that balance, you know, you got more used to it. Well, anyway, so it is with exercising as well. You exercise and you get stronger or you get healthy or whatever that would be. Well, this carries over into some spiritual principles as well. The more you walk and practice faith, the stronger your faith will become, the more that you will live in a spirit and mind of expectation. You're expecting God to move. You're expecting God to hear. You're expecting God to answer. Now, this is what the Spirit of the Lord does. He brings that faith. We're not to be immature in our faith all of our lives. See, you are the instrument and the vessel of Almighty God. He wants to use you. He wants to use you to glorify His name. And the way that He uses you to glorify His name is that we bear His likeness. We bear His image. That's what it really is. Means to walk in the Spirit. It means to walk in the power of the Spirit. It's the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, we bear fruit by the power of the Holy Spirit. But did you understand that this righteousness belongs to you and it belongs to me in Jesus? To be realized, to be known, to be experienced, the transforming power of the Lord into our lives. And I'm not just transformed at being saved. And transformation, I want to say something about transformation. Metamorpho is the Greek word for the word being transformed or transfigured. And it means to be brought from one state of being into another state of being. And the one state of being is that we've been loosed from the flesh. Well, that's one deception that Christians hold on to, right? They see themselves bound to the flesh. They see themselves that I have to obey sin. I have to do this. I'm powerless. That's called a lie. You know, the lie of the evil one. Deception. You do understand that there's a work of deception that is sent against you and against me to keep you and me from going forward. And the way we go forward is we believe upon the truth We believe upon the truth, whether I'm experiencing it or not. We believe upon the truth. It doesn't matter whether I'm bearing that fruit or not in my life. I'm believing that that belongs to me in the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you begin to make that stand of faith before the Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit is released into your life to cause it to come into being. Now, look here. Let me read this again. So we see here, now we're coming over into chapter 12. I want you to come over to Romans chapter 12. And look with me, Romans chapter 12. And we find over here, look at this in verse 1. Romans 12, 1 says, I urge you therefore, brethren. Now, did you see that? Did you see that who he's talking to? He's talking to the brethren, right? So he's talking about an action that is to be taken by the Christian. I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, look at this, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God. Now look at this, which is your spiritual service of worship. Brethren, right? You know, so do you understand? It's not a matter of just simply getting saved. This is also the call of obedience in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the action taken as the believer. I'm no longer my own. I'm no longer my own. You know, I present myself to be the possession of the Lord Jesus Christ. I present my body to belong to Him. I don't have a right to my own body. My body is not mine. The Word of God says that it belongs to the Lord. Everything about me belongs to the Lord. So, you know, I'm not just taking Jesus as my Savior and then the rest of my life is mine. I just, you know, I'll serve God my way. I'll walk with God my way. I'll spend time with God if I want to, if I don't want to. And I'll do this and I'll do that. And you're still walking in the realm of self. And as long as you walk in the realm of self, you'll be afflicted by your flesh. You're not going to have victory. You're not going to have victory. You wonder why you can't get over certain sins. Well, what's going on in your heart? What's going on in your heart? You know, you present yourself to belong to Him. And as you present yourself to belong to Him, oh, I'm telling you right now that the jealousy of Almighty God will be released upon you. The jealousy of Almighty God. God is jealous. He is jealous for you that you belong to Him and that nothing else is going to have you. He'll make sure of it. He'll make sure of it. He will manifest His power, His might, His glory, and you'll find victories in things that you didn't think that you could ever have victory in. And this is how we become more of the possession of the Lord. This is your destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's sad to say that some people buck their head up against that wall, whew, all of their life. I'm not going to say what their outcome is because I won't make that determination. But I will tell you this, what a way to live. What a way to live. Always bucking your head up against walls and always having problems and difficulties. I'm not saying that you're not in the will of God, but when you have problems and difficulties, what I am saying is that the Spirit of God will lead you through and He'll give you a lot more victories in your life and He will have His hand on your eternal destiny and He'll lead you through to the accomplishment of the purpose and the will of Almighty God. You will be everything that God determined. And I will say another word. Now, salvation is whosoever will. Now, and it's on the basis of nothing but on the basis of faith through grace. But the Bible talks about rewards. Rewards are things that you earn. We don't talk about it much in church. But you do a word search on it yourself, and you'll see very clearly that there are rewards. There are rewards in heaven. There are rewards that take place in heaven. Now, you need to be thinking about that because that's exactly where you're marching. You're marching toward eternity. We all are marching toward eternity. I pray that the Holy Spirit will broaden your vision and it will broaden your understanding that you don't just see life as now. That you don't just see life as now. This is a very small part of your life. Do you understand that? This right now is a very small part of your life. Your eternal destiny is weighing in the balance. And not only your eternal destiny, but according to the scriptures, your rewards. And then in those rewards, you will live and you will walk in the fullness of God throughout all eternity. And then the Word of God talks about the ages to come. Isn't that an incredible word? The ages. The ages. We're living in the church age right now, right? You know, we're living in the church age. We will be coming into the millennial. That will be another age, that a 1,000-year reign, and we'll live with Jesus, and we'll walk in that time and in that age. And then the Word of God uses the term ages. The ages to come. See, the Spirit of God gives you vision so that you can live for eternity and that you understand that whatever sacrifices that I make or whatever I have to do right now, that I will do it, and in whatever sufferings that will come my way. I mean, I'm not going to kid you. You know, I'm talking about sufferings in the flesh, right? You know, because you say, I'm not going to be a part of that. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to be that way. I'm not going to live that way. I'm not going to be like the people of the world, because I'm not of the world. I'm not of the world. I'm in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I'm not going to live that way. These are decisions. And is there sufferings involved? I mean, some people, if you're not going to go along with the party, you know, they'll disassociate with you. Right? They'll disassociate with you. You'll be ostracized. You know, you'll be talked about. You know, you'll be ostracized. You'll be talked about. You will even suffer persecution in your life. You'll suffer persecution in your life because you know why? You stick out like a sore thumb. Right? You stick out like a sore thumb. You know, and you know, you walk after love, you know, and you love those that hate you. And, you know, is that suffering? Sure it is. You know, what I'd like to do is I wouldn't tell anybody, but I'd like to go get my ball bat. You know what I mean? That's what I'd like to do. I'd like to go get my ball bat, you know. But, oh, I'm not going to go get my ball bat, you know. I'm gonna die to myself. Ooh, boy, that hurt. Right? I'm going to die to myself. You know, because, you know, understand who has my heart is Jesus, and I live for him. I live for him. I don't live for my will, my way, my desire. I live for his will, his way, and his desire. Is there suffering involved? Yeah, there's suffering involved. But the Word of God in Romans chapter 8 says it's not to be compared with the glory, right? It's not to be compared with the glory. You know, and we're not just talking about heavenly glory. You know, God has his glory for you to walk in it and experience it now. That the presence of God and the glory of the Lord be upon you. Now, look at this. Let's go on, verse 2 here. And do not be conformed to the world, and as we just talked about that. But look at this. But be transformed. That's that word, metamorpho, but be transformed. And how does this transformation? Now, you understand the context is that he's talking about brethren. Do you see that? Verse 1 says it very clearly. And he's talking about brethren. And he said, do not be conformed to this world. Oh, so do you understand that it's before you, Christian brother and Christian sister, whether you are going to be conformed to the world or whether you're going to shun and walk away from worldliness. Worldliness is one of the greatest destructive elements that comes to the church today. Worldliness is one of the greatest destructive elements that comes into a believer's life. We are not of the world. We've been delivered from the world. We do not live the way that the world does. It's not just simply we go to church now and we do good things and we're good people, and then the rest of it we can be like everybody else in the world. That's not the way of the Lord. That's not the way of the Lord. Now notice that the way that we are saved from being worldly is by allowing the transforming power of God to come into our lives. That's how we're being saved. You know, we're walking in from faith to faith, and we're obtaining more glory, more grace, more of his likeness, more of his love, more of his character, more like him, less like me. This is your blessing. Look on. Now look on. It says this, and it goes on, and do not be conformed to the world, but be transformed. Now look how this goes, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is that which is good and acceptable and perfect. You know, so we see here by the renewing of your mind. But you understand that's by the power of God. Now here's, let me give you just in a practical way of how that happens. Come back here in Romans chapter 6. I'm going to go back to 6. We were there last week. And I'll give you a small example of this. You know, there's a renewing of my mind. In other words, you know, I begin by the Spirit of God as I submit to the Lord and I follow the Lord, and I begin to realize that Jesus wants to be a part of everything about me. And, you know, and like, for example, I just said to you, I discover through the truth of the Word, hey, I don't have to obey that flesh. Hey, I'm not in the flesh. Hey, sin doesn't have to be master over me. Hey, I've got the blessing of righteousness. I've been loosed from that old man. Hey, I'm in the Spirit. I don't have to be that no more. Now, you understand where the transforming power comes? It comes when you make the decision of faith to believe what the Word says over what you're experiencing. Now, I'm not telling you that that is an easy thing to do, you know, but it's a blessed thing to do, and it's the way of faith, because once you begin to say, no, 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 I do not have to walk after the flesh. I do not, I feel like I'm a slave to that sin, or whatever that would be. You know, that's what the perception is, and the evil one wants to convince you of that so that you will stay in it from that day forward all the days of your life. But when you begin to stand in faith and begin to receive what the Word says, and you begin to stand on it, you feel really weird, right? You feel weird and everything else. But listen, you stand there. You continue to stand there. Because what does the Word say? From faith to faith. You know what's going to happen? Your faith might be shaky at first, but it'll start being transformed. It'll start being changed. You'll get more convinced. You'll get more convinced. Conviction that it belongs to you, that the promise belongs to you, will become stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. And then you know what will happen to you? You will start declaring victory over things that are still there. Oh, but glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, you're not staying in me. You're not staying in me. Oh, no. Oh, no. In the name of Jesus. Oh, no. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. And it will go. Because you've been promised the transforming power of Almighty God. You've been promised the dunamis of the Lord. And all you got to do is what? What do you got to do? What in the world do you have to do? Well, it already gave us very clear instructions, didn't it? And that is, we believe. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. Here we go. Now look at this. I read this to you. But it says in Romans chapter 6, it says in verse 10, for the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. But now he's talking about now taking what Jesus accomplished and it now being brought into your life. Here's verse 11. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin. Did you see that? Remember me telling you last week, to consider is a faith action? Because consider is a faith action. I'm coming in agreement with the Lord. I'm coming in an agreement that sin no longer shall be master over me. It shall no longer be master over me. And then you'll have someone stand up. Well, now, brother, you know, what are you saying? Do you say that you don't ever sin? Well, I'm going to tell you something. That's called a cop-out right there. Because it's not a matter of whether you ever sin anymore or not. It's called the promise of Almighty God. That's an excuse to keep on sinning. That's what that is. That's an excuse to keep on sinning. It takes a brave heart to believe God. It really does. It takes a courageousness of God. And the evil one will fight you every step of the way. But this is the truth. Are you following me? This is the truth of the word of the Lord. Okay, so now look on. Even so, consider yourselves. Look at this. To be dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Here's verse 12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your what? In your what? What does it say? Mine says mortal body. What does yours say? Mortal body. What is that? That's in this flesh, isn't it? Huh? It's in this flesh. Did you hear that instruction from the word of the Lord? Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey its lust. And do not, now here's the key, and do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness. Now look, what are we to be doing? But present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead. That's called believing upon the accomplishment of the Lord Jesus Christ. And your members, that's my actions and my ways, my members as instruments of righteousness to God. Now, that word present, parastemi, parastemi, and it means this. It means to present or to come to or put at my disposal. Are you hearing that? So do you understand, you know, how this transforming power comes into the life of the believer? Because it said brethren. This is for brethren. This instructions are for brethren. Well, how does it come into the life of the believer? Simple. I present myself to be the possession of the Lord. Are you hearing that? I present myself to be the possession of the Lord. Lord, have your way in everything about me. Have your way. Oh, Lord God, have your way in my heart. Have your way in my mind. Have your way in my body. Have your way in my actions. Have your way. Have your way. I present these hands as yours. I present these legs as yours. I present my being as yours. Do you hear that? That's the instruction of the believer. That's the instruction to the believer. What's the promise of Almighty God? What's the promise of Almighty God? The transforming power of God. And you're not overcoming it. You're not overcoming it. The Spirit is. The Spirit of God is overcoming it. Now, I'm going to close by just giving you just a couple of things right here. And here it is, and I want you to see this. And these are the points of understanding. You understand, number one, that this is a journey. This is a journey. It starts with a seed in the heart. And then you understand? Then the next thing is that the truth of the word, all right, begins to take root. I start giving it place in my heart and in my mind. You know, and then that's where there's a renewing of my mind, my thinking. I'm not thinking the thoughts of the man of the flesh. I'm thinking according to the man of the Spirit, because that belongs to me in Jesus Christ. That belongs to me in Jesus Christ. And you're talking about changing your perspective and your approach on everything in life, where you're leaning more with the expectation on the promise of God than you are looking for what you can do to make things happen. Oh, what a rest. What a rest. What a resting place. You're expecting the intervention of the hand of God. And you, it doesn't matter, even if you go through it, you're still expecting of the intervention of the hand of God, because you belong to Him. Well, it's a journey. It's a journey, you know. And not only this, but believer, don't get discouraged. It's a progressive work. You understand that? It's a progressive work. This is the pursuit of the Holy Spirit all the days of your life. Sometimes people get in the ditch. Okay, I want to tell you, God is seeking to bring them out of the ditch, all right? Sometimes you get off track in that direction over here, or whatever it be. You know, God's not just, He's pursuing to bring you back. It's a progressive work. It's a progressive work that takes life in the life of the believer. Now, and then, two afflictions that hinder people. One is the battle. Because a lot of Christians think that you shouldn't have any battles if you're walking with God. If you're really walking the Spirit, there's just no battles there. There's even Christian doctrine to teach that to you. But this is just not true. This is not true. You know, there are battles, but the Lord will give you the victory. Don't get discouraged because of the battle. Don't, you know, you begin to say, okay, in the name of Jesus, I consider myself dead now to sin. And oh, Lord, I thank you, Lord. I am now dead to what you name it, whatever it would be. And then here it afflicts you again, or you fall again, or whatever it would be. Well, you know, that's the battle is going on. Are you following me there? The battle is going on. And there's a victory to be won. And the Holy Spirit will lead you through the battle, and he will bring you into the victory. And the way the victory will come is not by you getting stronger. It's that the end of yourself. Are you with me there? It's at the end of your power, the end of your might, you know, and at the place when you give up and you're just like a whipped puppy, right? And you just don't have no more ability anymore. Whoa, here comes the power of Almighty God. And he raises you up in the victory of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that thing has been removed out of your life. You don't even be tempted by it anymore. Don't let the battle discourage you. Many people lay down and quit. Don't quit in the battle. Now here's the next one, and I'll close with this. The cost. The cost. The battle. The next one is the cost. They get fearful of the cost. They get fearful. You know, you can read about going to Spain, right? And oh, you can read all about it. And then, but there's a difference between reading about Spain and going to Spain, is there not? You know, there's a more cost involved, right, in going to Spain than it is simply about reading about Spain. It's one thing to read about the promises of a God. It's another thing by the power of the Spirit to be brought into the promises of God. Don't let cost. Because I can tell you, it's worth it all. I'm going to release something here because the Spirit of the Lord told me, he said, this is transforming Sunday. Y'all can come up if you want to, okay? This is transforming Sunday. This is transforming Sunday. I'm going to pray a prayer, all right, for the transforming power of God. Will you receive it? Will you receive it? You can't sit like a knot on a log, right? You have to receive it. You have to receive it. You receive the transforming power of God. And then watch God. Believe on him and watch him. Watch him. Watch him. And I want to say one other word, all right? Here I go again, all right? I said it last week, but condemnation that is a formidable opponent, you must overcome it. You must resist it. You understand me? You know, the more you learn about the ways of the Lord and the more light that you receive of that pathway of, I never knew God would do that. Oh, and then here comes condemnation stronger and stronger to resist you, right? So you must make a decision to believe on the word of the Lord, Romans 8:1, for there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh but according to the Spirit, right? Now, I'm going to pray this prayer. Will you open up your heart? Will you receive the transforming power of God? Will you be looking with expectation to rise up to the next level that God has for you? Because I guarantee you, he's got another level. Okay, all right? He's got another level. I love going from glory to glory. I love it. I love going from glory to glory. And just about the time you get into that glory of God, the Spirit of God is moving you into another glory.
Amen.
All right. Will you receive it? Father, in the name of Jesus, right now. Our Holy Spirit, move upon every one of us in the name of Jesus. Let the transforming power of God be released now in this place. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for your touch. Your touch. Throughout this place, on every heart, every life, and the destiny of everyone. Right now, Holy Spirit, you are loosed, and we receive you. We receive you. We receive you. We receive you in the transforming power of God. All the walls come down in the name of Jesus. Every afflictions come down. Oh, Lord. Let the healing hand of the Lord go forth. Let the healing hand of hearts and minds and bodies in Jesus' name, let the healing hand of the Lord go forth right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Receive the healing touch of the Lord. What is the healing that you need in your life? You receive the healing touch of the Lord right now, in Jesus' name. Hallelujah.